Greetings, family. Welcome. Welcome to today's podcast. I pray that I find you in good spirits. Let's go ahead and open this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Turning wealth into a good thing. You know, when money is in the hands of a good person, good things happen. When money is in the hands of a productive, hardworking individual, jobs are created. Communities thrive. When money is in the hands of a bad person, crime increases. Turning wealth into a good thing. There's an article here in... It's taken from the New Living Translation, their Bible, with a commentary. It says, in 1 Timothy 6 and 6 through 10 and 17 to 19, out of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10 and 17 to 19. Let's pray. Let's read about these. It says, spiritual growth comes when we turn our attention from our own desires and invest our resources in God's priorities. The Bible consistently reminds us that the human heart is constantly tempted to replace the worship of God with idolatry or the worship of things. We are also warned that the love of money is of the root of all kinds of evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. One of the ways to help guard against this temptation and loosen the world's grip on us is to consistently set aside a portion of our wealth for God's use. In this way, we turn a potential source of evil into a means for spiritual growth and renewal. When we set aside money for God's use, we, one, demonstrate our loyalty, two, and dependence on God. Our use of money is one of the most tangible evidences of our priorities. We may be able to impress others with our words, but our true colors show when we are called to put our money where our mouth is. When we give to God's work, we remind ourselves that our goal is to give glory to God and advance His kingdom. It also reminds us that we all have come from Him. Two, we participate in God's work here on earth, whether we are able to give small or large amounts. Our money can be used to reach out to others directly or through those who serve in ways and places we cannot. Three, we prepare for great responsibilities. The faithful servant who were each entrusted with a portion of silver were rewarded according to their stewardship. The way we handle our money reveals much about how we handle our lives, preparing us for greater service to God. Above all, we need to remind ourselves that money has a very limited use. It will have no place in the world to come. Contentment is one of our surest defense against the love of money and the corrosive power of greed. Contentment is one of our surest defenses against the love of money. Contentment, I am content. When God said, I am pleased with my son, talking about Jesus, he could have said, I am content. And we are content with God's care for us. I am content. Nothing missing, nothing broken. The funny part about it is when I'm struggling with something, I'm supposed to thank God for it and do the best I can with it, and act like, basically, it's my lack of saving and lack of greed for not buying a better product. really, if you boil it down to, is my lack of responsibility. Other people with the same amount of money, with the same amount of opportunity, have purchased and have done very well. So it's not God's poor me fault that my car is falling apart. He said, Father, it's my fault. I have not used my income and resources and time and well spent in utilizing or running my company, my family, as well as I should or could. That makes sense to me, folks. God, I blew it. I messed up. Here I am, your child. What do I have good that's best that I can shine up and appreciate? Amen. Let's put it into practice, folks. It says, review the various ways money can be used for good, both for us and for others. Which of these seem most significant to you at this time? How would you rate your contentment? Quote now. Do you own your wealth, or does your wealth own you? Amen. Woo! What a world, huh? Wouldn't it be easier if we had financial angels standing beside us, counselors telling us, you know, and explaining to us what's the best option in situations and what's the best move? Boy, we'd be more content, right? A little reading from Moving Shifts right here. It caught my attention. The chapter 4 of Revelation. It says, in the center, starting with Revelation chapter. Well, let me go ahead and read the whole chapter because it's only 11 verses. It says, then I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I had heard before spoke to me with the sound of a mighty trumpet blast. The voice said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after these things. And instantly I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was a brilliant as gemstones, jasper, carnelian, and the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. And in front of the throne were seven lampstands with burning flames. They are the seven spirits of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, covered with eyes front and back. The first of these living beings had the form of a lion. The second looked like an ox. The third had a human face, and the fourth had the form of an eagle with wings spread out as though in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered with eyes inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come. Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one who lives forever and ever, and they lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, O Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power, For you created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. Amen. A couple of things I wanted to point out on this. The worship, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created everything. It is for your pleasure that they were created. Here we go again. The Lord received, our Lord our God, He's worthy because He is worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. That's where glory, honor, and power come from. For you use that glory and that honor and that power to create everything. For it is your pleasure that they exist and were created. There's resources used rightly for His pleasure. That's why when we praise the Lord, we say, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We praise you, Lord. You are worthy, O Lord, our Lord, our God, to receive my glory, my praise, and worship and sing songs unto Him. For the Father seeketh those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth." Amen. The second point I wanted to bring out on this was the living beings that had six wings, and their wings were covered with eyes inside and out. You ever see any drawings of these guys? It's amazing how many eyes they have. Day after day and night after night, they kept on saying. So in other words, the elders must have been falling down. The 24 thrones around the Lord's throne, it says that they were falling. Every time these guys, they worship God, whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks, which is another word for worship, for the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. You created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created." Kind of interesting to find out what language this is being said in. And the other interesting thing is the vibrations that these words are being said. Day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy is the Lord of God." The point I'm making, folks, is that there was a constant hum. If it wasn't for the living beings, saying, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who was, is, and who was still to come." And then the elders are saying, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, and you created everything. It is for your pleasure that they exist and were created." Kind of reminds me of a self-existing sun. The sun just burns with power, burns in power. And this is power being regenerated, strength and honor being regenerated. For God is a constant source. What I'm saying, folks, is our words are vibration sources that, used rightly, we honor God, we worship Him, and we speak His promises that He said to us. We speak His promises out loud by singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs unto the Lord, praising Him, singing songs like, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen. Thank you for singing that with me. So there you go, folks. That's today's study. The fact is that we need to give the Lord pleasure by us singing for all that He's done for us. When Jesus Christ came and gave the Father pleasure, He gave the Father contentment. He satisfied the requirements of the humming of the negative law with the positive hummings of the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's where we live. We live in the sounds and the humming of the words of Jesus. Fear not, for I am with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Believe in me, also believe in the Father. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Folks, we're living in another dimension, and we need to speak rightly and sing songs and praise Him. In other words, we speak out His words into the air and allow God to make His word come to pass. In Isaiah 55:11 says, my word shall go out from my mouth and not return unto me void, but shall prosper in the thing that I shall send it. Says verse 11. Let me read it to you. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace, verse 12. The mountains and the hills will burst out into song, and the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Amen. Where once there were thorns and cypress trees will grow, where the briars grew, myrtles will sprout up. This miracle will bring great honor to the Lord's name. It will be an everlasting sign of His power and love. Amen. Let's move down to, this is so good. Let's, verse 6, 55, verse 6 of Isaiah. Seek the Lord while you can find Him. Call on Him now while He is near. There's the word call. Seek and call. Let the people turn from their wicked deeds. Let them banish from their minds the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that He may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Then the Lord says, my thoughts are completely different from yours, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and the hills will burst out into song, and the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where briars grew, myrtles will sprout up. This miracle will bring great honor to the Lord's name. It will be an everlasting sign of His power and His love. The next verse, it says, be just and fair to all, says the Lord. Do what is right and good, for I am coming soon to rescue you. Blessed are those who are careful to do this. Blessed are those who honor my Sabbath days of rest, by refusing to work, and blessed are those who keep themselves from doing wrong. In verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, God rescues us free of charge. It is a gift. It is not something we can earn by being good enough. While our salvation is not based on the good things we do, our deeds are an important demonstration of our faith in God. By following God's instructions for living, we are demonstrating our obedience to and respect for God. And God's laws leads to a rich, full life. Since He created the world and its people and sustains it, He knows what will work for us, best for us and sustain us. Woohoo! Rockets, beautiful, beautiful reading. Hey folks, you heard it right here. Why the foundation of speaking God's words is so valuable. Speaking by faith. One of the ways that we can organize and do this, or that I can do that, is when I get up in the morning, sing and praise and worship the Lord and get myself happy. Gratitude, moving my toes, my fingers, thanking Him for a wonderful day, and then come on in and get the little book on God's promises. Drink a big glass of water and say to the water, wonderful water, and charge the words with God's words. God said everything is good. So you say to the water, wonderful water, and we're the conduit of God's will here. By giving honor and glory to God, we speak to the water and preferably take communion too. Take communion and acknowledge Jesus as the bread of life and take a little juice and say, this is the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all sin. Amen. Now you're ready. Now we are high priests. Now we take the book of the promises and we go outside and we speak them into the air. So the words of God will take flight. And it's like the Lord says, we're like farmers. We're planting words that are going to we're going to receive back a harvest. So we're speaking His words, and He will sustain us and supply for that very day. He will sustain us, hold us, and keep us for that very day, folks. Oh yeah, in addition to the taking communion, you come back from worshiping Lord, you want to go into the closet and close your door and pray to the Father in secret, and your Father in secret will reward you openly, preferably after the communion, on your knees, and do this. I always try to cooperate with others, and it just slows down the progress. Do it on your own, and then from there, pray with all your heart, three Our Fathers, and act like your prayer is going to save the world, and you're going to push back the evil. Act like it, because it makes a tremendous impact in the atmosphere. And from there, go drink the water, bless the water, and say, wonderful water. And go outside and speak the words of God and the promises. Okay, here we go again. Step one, praise and worship and get happy in the morning. Go over gratitude lists, ears, eyes, and everything. Walk, acknowledge the Lord and your body and how good you feel. Two, take communion in your closet. Take communion. And say three Our Fathers. Three, drink a big glass of water and call it wonderful water, spring water, and then speak the words of God into the future, into the air, outside prayerfully. Just recite them. And go ahead and record yourself so you can listen to it when you're driving around. Use your recording device on your phone. And then expect something to happen. Expect for your resources to be supplied for that day. Expect that God has heard and believe it's true. Act like God has heard you. Just keep on acting. Say, oh, thank you, God. I did it right. I did the requirements that the Lord required for me to worship Him in spirit and truth, acknowledge His word, acknowledge His Son, and bring in the presence of heaven into our realm. And be joyful. You've done your duty. Be joyful and go out through all your day singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, thanking God that you have done your duty to acknowledge the Lord. Amen. Of course, you can do it at noon and in the evening again. You know, if you're on a roll and things are happening, then put the metal to the pedal. Pedal to the metal. Keep on keeping on. Wow. Sounds good to me. Usually when I speak a sermon like this, or the next day, I end up kind of couldn't sleep, and I'm wah. And the enemy tries to take me off. He'll attack me. It seems like if I know the truth, he'll come and try to slow me down. He'll get people to keep me on the phone. Like last night, I wanted to read the word and go to sleep early, and I knew people were going to come. And so I had two calls last night, maybe three. People wanted to talk. People wanted to ring my doorbell. I went to sleep early. And I'm not part of this world. I'm different. I'm peculiar. I'm reading the Word of God. I'm going to sleep early. And that's what I did. That's why I'm up at 3 a.m. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lift up His countenance and give you peace, and establish you in every good work and achievement and pleasure. And pleasure, folks, and fun and adventure. Amen. We're a joyous, happy, enthusiastic, vibrant people. I love you. God bless you. Amen.